Frank, you got any skin left on your fingers? You must have been a tweeting sensation. I mean, a texting sensation today.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of Twitter. I think everyone loves breaking news and insider info, except when it comes to announcing a new team. So that's fine. Look, just serving the fine readers of dailyfaceoff.com. And, you know, it's funny. I did get some really funny memes in response. Like, someone was like, yeah, Ron Francis is going to break the news of his kids' Christmas gifts before he does. And I was just like, okay, like, sure.
That was actually pretty. There was a few of them that had me laughing. I was watching them. So it was quite. They were like, does Frank tell his kids what their Christmas presents are on December 23rd? That would actually make me laugh as well. But no, you're doing great, man. No, that was awesome. So my first serious question is, you're so tapped into this. So which Seattle celebrity is going to be announcing which pick? Do you know that?
No, honestly, I have no idea. I don't know everything, I can assure you. And to be totally fair, for whatever reason, the only one that I didn't have on my list for hours and hours was Detroit. So Steve Yzerman must be doing it right. He's the one, you know, honestly, that was the one pick I couldn't solve.
Well, it sounds like I saw someone tweet out, sorry, Struds, that they couldn't get a hold of him. And that's why that one couldn't get announced. So maybe even they couldn't avoid the power of Sarah Valley today.
Yeah, Frank, great job today, buddy. It was so impressive. I couldn't get off Twitter because I was following your tweets and the updates. But, you know, are you surprised at some of the big name contracts that they avoided? You know, Carey Price, Van Riemsdyk. I mean, they took Eberle instead of Bailey. But some of these bigger and Tarasenko. Are you surprised that some of these players were not chosen, because there is some upside to those guys?
Yeah, I mean, look, it all depends on how you want to build your team. I mean, do you want to come out in year one and try and compete for the Stanley Cup? Because I think you could have put together a roster that would have allowed you to at least be a playoff team. Not to say that this one isn't, because I think they're actually pretty good. And, you know, a lot of people have looked at some of the names that are on this list and say that it's kind of underwhelming. But I think you also have to keep in mind, you know, Ron Francis doesn't mess around. Like, he came out on Saturday and said cap space is more valuable than anything. And I think that's important on a number of different levels, because it's not necessarily about coming out of the gate and trying to win the Stanley Cup in year one. It's about building a consistent winner. And I think the key with that is they have flexibility now in this summer. Obviously, there's going to be some guys from this team that aren't going to sign. They've only got, I think, maybe five contracts, six that go beyond this season, seven at the most. So the key is next year. This is the team that came into the league that, in a flat cap world, has $81.5 million new dollars that they're injecting into the picture. And so next year, when every team is scrambling again because they don't have cap space, they can remain an outlet, not just to continue to acquire and accrue assets, but also to take on some really good players. And so I'd imagine that they've got a really nice foundation moving forward. There's going to be trades that come down after this, and then they're going to have all the flexibility in the world to continue building their team.
Frank Saravalli from DailyFaceoff.com joins us. The Tarasenko one to me is still fascinating. So they put him on the list, and some thought they were doing it so they could protect Vince Dunn. Well, that didn't work, as Dunn went to Seattle anyway. It just seems like that relationship is beyond repair. So what are you hearing now? Because I know tomorrow at 10 a.m. is when the trade freeze lifts for the NHL teams. Is Tarasenko going to get dealt automatically before the draft? And who do you think maybe is the most interested?
I don't think it's automatic before the draft, but I think there's a real chance. Look, there were a number of teams that were interested in Tarasenko before he was left exposed. I think, to my knowledge, there were four teams that were willing to pay full price in terms of his cap hit to get him. I think L.A. was one. Carolina was another. I think Florida was in the mix. Blanking on the fourth team at the moment, but there were a number that were willing to take that full cap it, and then a whole host of others that were really interested at a retained salary transaction where St. Louis maybe eats a million or two to try and make it more palatable. And I think St. Louis has had their eye on a number of different guys around the league. Like, I think Gabriel Landeskog, if he was able to shake free from Colorado, which is still very much up in the air, they haven't really gotten any traction with Landeskog in Colorado, that if they don't in short order, maybe he's a guy that St. Louis targets as sort of the Tarasenko replacement. So there's lots of layers to it. You know, this is a, this whole thing has been so fluid. You know, the free agent part of this is so fascinating because there's going to be guys on this list again that, that Seattle's selecting that they're also not signing that are also still going to become available, and other guys that they didn't pick that are free agents that they may ultimately sign later on. Like, you know, I'll give you an example. They took Jonas Donskoy from Colorado. I've heard that there's been traction between the Kraken and a guy like Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, who was part of the original Vegas team. So, all things to keep in mind and point out. But it's been interesting to watch it all develop.
Tom, with Frank Saravalli, you did a great job kind of opening our eyes to what was going on with the Kraken and their expansion picks that come up officially tonight. Frank, when you look at you know, the Giordano, apparently he was the one, and then there are reports that he may be moved out to New York. You know, to me, it seems like the perfect guy to kind of build a foundation of a culture around it in Seattle. Is it just too good to flip him over and get something back, or how is that all going to play out with the Rangers, Seattle, and Giordano?
Yeah, Struds, I actually don't have an answer to that. I viewed Giordano in a lot of the same way that you do, as sort of that quintessential foundational piece to start, you know, really building your franchise and the culture. That was such a big buzzword in hockey and pro sports in general, but I think Mark Giordano is the poster boy for people that you'd want in your room. And I think the fact that he soon turns 38, you know, he's got certainly some mileage on him in terms of some recent injuries and nicks. And I think that cap hit is probably prohibitive in some cases, but there's a reason why Seattle took him. Obviously, you know, on the one hand, they think he can still play, but then as a flippable asset, I think Tyler Pitlick is a guy that's going to be flipped, for instance, on Thursday once the trading freeze breaks at 1 p.m. Eastern time, 11 Mountain. You know, I don't know about Giordano, but I can tell you this about the New York Rangers, that they have a lot of balls in the air at the moment. They've been looking to move Pavel Buchnevich for a couple weeks. I'm told that Ryan Strome is potentially on the move again at the center position. They've been trying to find a landing spot for Alexander Georgiev, looking for a first-round pick. So Chris Drury has been really active, and obviously the Barkley Goodrow signing that's likely going to come down on Thursday, 6 times 3.65, which we reported earlier in the week. A lot of teams are curious, what exactly are the New York Rangers up to, and are they gearing up to eventually then trade for Jack Eichel?
Yeah, the Jack Eichel one's really intriguing to me, Frank, because my understanding is, did he ever have the surgery that he talked about?
To my knowledge, no.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. So there was all the talk, and supposedly that was the rift. Well, if he didn't have it, like, this might sound, is there any chance he stays in Buffalo?
I think there's a 0.0% chance he stays in Buffalo. I just, that's another relationship that I just, it's a matter of when, not if, and where. You know, that I don't know how you put the toothpaste back in the tube with that one, with how things have gone, with the, you know, anytime I think things bubble over medically and differences of opinion, it's always like the last straw, I think, that happens between a player and a club. And in this case, all the frustration that's built to this point, his name being out there, the Sabres not even denying it, the thing for me is, are the Sabres overplaying their hand a little bit? You know, Jack Eichel is a really talented player and a lot of teams want to have him, but I've heard that the asking price is so high that there's some real doubt as to whether the Sabres need to reconsider what they're looking for. You know, it's basically all picks and prospects, and some teams can live, can play in that sandbox, and other teams just don't have the ability to with what they have. So teams that would be interested, some of them are more interested in trading some roster players rather than all futures. And, it, you know, they're just not seeing eye to eye on a lot of teams at the moment, but they've tried to keep the situation pretty quiet.
What are you hearing on Kuznetsov?
Actually, not a ton on Kuznetsov. I think he's a guy that has generated a little bit of interest. One of the teams that I had connected to Kuznetsov was the New York Rangers. again, Rangers are fascinating. Whether it's Eichel, whether it's Kuznetsov, you know, do they add someone on the back end? When do they buy out Tony DeAngelo? Those are all, you know, pretty pertinent questions. And I would say that, you know, for all the talk about Kuznetsov being out there, I think the four-year term is what's scaring some teams away. So I think it's been a little bit more difficult to move than intended. And also, just for a pure agenda setting, you know, standpoint as well, the Caps, I think, are focused on getting the Ovechkin deal and finished off in short order again once the signing moratorium opens.
When you take a look at, you know, all the D-men that were piled up, stockpiled by, well, I think that, you know, according to you, about 12 D-men, you know, are there some pretty clear ones you think that might be, you know, outside of Giordano, perhaps tradable, or they might be looking to trade out?
I'm just looking at my list here as you said it. I think they're pretty set in terms of having that foundation with, and you know what was interesting, Strudge, was the, you got a real sense early today what the style of this team would be. So when you have guys like Oleksiak, you know, who has the size, when you have Adam Larsson at, you know, 4x4, with, you know, the grit that he brings, Vince Dunn has that boomer of a slap shot if you can get him signed. You know, and then, you know, some of the other guys, Carson Soucy, another guy that has size, like, you get a sense that this team is going to be pretty difficult to play against. And so I don't know that, you know, maybe one of the Fleury brothers is a flip. You know, I don't think that there's a ton of flipping going on the back end. Jeremy Lauzon, I think Jay Leach, their assistant coach, would know so well from Boston. He played more minutes than Clifton. He played more minutes than Zboril. So another guy that I'd imagine is right sort of in the mix. So maybe aside from Giordano, I don't think the answer to that question is yes.
Frank, another name that, of course, we've seen a lot of, it doesn't seem like they're on the same page for contracts, Gabriel Landeskog. It definitely wasn't. I didn't get the sense it was any like just smoke and mirrors to try to persuade Seattle not to sign him. And obviously, they could have talked to him, but they didn't. What do you see happening to Landeskog?
I'd say it's a toss up, 50-50. We've seen the Colorado Avalanche go to some quote dark places in order to try and get their guys signed. Some real hardball. You remember how, you know, a few of their negotiations in the past with some of their bigger names seemed to be in flux or, you know, potentially going the other way in recent years before ultimately getting done. So I say that history to preface that I think it's still possible, but I do also think there's a real chance that he makes it to market and a team like the St. Louis Blues would be interested, or, you know, another pretty prominent team that has some money to spend and would like to reshape things. So, you know, I think having, you know, another team out there in the mix, I wonder about a team like LA, you know, could they be interested in a Gabriel Landeskog? So all those things kind of, you try and connect those dots and, you know, I give it exactly flip a coin 50-50, whether, Landeskog makes it to market or not.
Frank, I'm a pretty big fan of Jaden Schwartz. And, you know, what are you hearing as possible destinations for him or where he'd like to maybe play? Would it be anywhere closer to home, perhaps the capital city in Alberta?
Hard not to be, you know, like a guy like Jaden Schwartz. I feel for him the season he's coming off of, not just COVID for everyone, but also, you know, losing his dad in such a shocking fashion right before the season started. And so, with a guy like Jaden Schwartz, there was some real significant interest from Seattle. I think that came down to the wire over the last 24 hours as he sort of got the pitch from them on what they would be willing to do. You know, I think moving forward with Schwartz, he's not going to have any shortage of interest. I think LA is another team in the mix. I think Colorado, if I'm not mistaken, he actually lives in Colorado in the off season. So that could be a fit as well. And then, you know, I don't know moving forward beyond that, but teams looking for scoring, Jaden Schwartz would be a pretty strong fit.
Well, Frank, it'll be interesting to see what comes down tomorrow. Get some rest. And good work today on the expansion draft. It was fantastic. People can read your stuff at dailyfaceoff.com, which I know you guys are getting a new website coming very soon to make it even more Frank-friendly readable. So Always appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good one. Enjoy it.